And coming up next on the stream of Free Radio at freakradio.org, it is the March 28th, 2021 edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides. Right at down the pike at us is this court hearing on Tuesday, day after tomorrow, if you're listening to this on March 28th, as well as a meeting in the park around the issue of how to address the city's likely attack on homeless people, both in San Lorenzo Park and in other encampments, and just in individual tents and perhaps in shelters elsewhere throughout the city once the COVID crisis lessens and people are no longer, well, the shelter-in-place concerns are no longer as pressing for the city to at least give lip service, and not just lip service to, but actually give some credibility to, because that really was the basis for the injunction that the court granted the San Lorenzo folks and the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless in stopping the eviction of all those people back in December. Today at 9:30, there's going to be a hearing before Magistrate Susan Vonman, who was the same judge that granted first the temporary restraining order and then a week later the injunction that protected the San Lorenzo Park folks. Fortunately, now it appears from the limited information I've gotten from Keith McHenry, who finally got some information today from, I should say yesterday, from Anthony Condotti, although I'm actually recording this on the 27th, but I will be pretending it's the 28th, and you should too, so, because there are different things happening on the 28th, which is today, as I say, the, quote, today, if you are listening to this on that Sunday. Information I got was the draft of the city's proposed order modifying the injunction, which I'll be talking about, and I haven't gotten the any alternate proposed order from our side. Now, that may be because Keith and Alicia, who are the two top honchos in the Santa Cruz Homeless Union, are getting information from and input from people in the park and perhaps elsewhere, and that there is this big meeting today, that is the 28th, Sunday, in the park at 5 o'clock, which, where there'll be food and, who knows, merriment perhaps, or a lot of back-and-forth discussion, questions and answers, hopefully, and a lot of input on what should be done. What do the park people want to do? What do people in the community want to do? Not just about this injunction, about this proposed modification of or dissolution of the injunction, but about the general situation, and not just about the TOLO, or the law the city council is passing, the so-called temporary outdoor living ordinance, or dying ordinance, as I put it, but all the practices the police are using to go after people if they want to move along, essentially denying their right to shelter in place under the Martin versus Boise decision, which the police are narrowly interpreting as having to do only with the camping ordinance. Hence, they're getting a new camping ordinance out, the TOLO ordinance, that will allow them to circumvent this ruling that because the city does not have adequate shelter, because Santa Cruz does not have adequate shelter, you can't go after people who are outside who are... you have to have a place for them to go, in other words. And you can't just pretend you do. You can't just put out a thing you're on a waiting list. You can't just say, gosh, go and ask, call between the hours of, I don't know, 12 and 2 every Tuesday and Thursday, which used to be the hours for getting your property at the police department. I think it's now 11 to 3 on Tuesdays and 12:30 to 2:30 on Thursdays. I probably have that slightly wrong. You can find it on the SCPD website if you want to go check, if you happen to have access to a computer. But it's very limited hours. Anyway, I don't have the information that would enable me to see what the Union of the Homeless is actually proposing as an alternative. It looks like all they're trying to do is to cut back some of the nasty requirements that the city is proposing to the judge as the basis for dissolving this whole injunction. So there's going to be a lot of talk about that. You'll hear some heated conversation I'm having with with Keith McHenry and Wes White, the Salinas activist, because I continue to be upset that I'm not getting enough information from Anthony Prince, the attorney, about this. That is to say, not looking for confidential information. I'm looking for information that's in the public, that's been published already, that is available. And you say, why don't I go get it myself? Well, because it costs money to download, and because the attorney for the Santa Cruz Homeless Union's obligation, as far as I'm concerned, is to provide that to Santa Cruz Homeless Union members. And if his response is, as it was to me, we'll see if disciplinary action could be taken against you for this, then there's something also wrong with the way the union is operating too, which is a concern I raise at the same time as I provide some critical support for what the union does. And one of the things you're going to be hearing today is a lot of folks who got together at a union meeting and expressed a lot of feelings. Unfortunately, well, mostly neither of the main officers were there, although they were probably busy doing other things still. And there is a union meeting every Monday at 2 o'clock now in the parking lot where Food Not Bombs is serving food, next to the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union at Laurel and Front Streets. It's kind of a long intro. Let's roll through the opening music and on with the show.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
Then I had a conversation with Keith on the 27th. That would be yesterday if you're listening to this on Sunday. And I tried to find out whether he'd gotten new information from the attorney, Anthony Prince, regarding this upcoming hearing day after tomorrow, and what kind of proposed order perhaps Anthony was proposing to continue or extend the injunction, because I've always thought that the injunction needed to be extended to other groups of people in Santa Cruz who are in a similar situation to those who are in San Lorenzo Park. And it turns out, as far as the information I just got from Keith later in the day, that Anthony hadn't written any order whatsoever, that he had simply they were working on criticizing City Attorney Anthony Condotti's order, the city's order. And that is disturbing because, I mean, it could be done that way, I suppose, but well, the order doesn't look too good. It looks bad, of course. It's the city attorney's order. Court ordered, say what the city attorney wants the court to order, is city the option to relocate campers to the Benchlands area. This area is the area that's adjacent to San Lorenzo Park's normally used duck pond, sports court, pathway right off the river, children's playground area, the upper area. It's the lower area that's described often as being in danger of flooding during the winter. the original campgrounds for the last few years for homeless people have sort of been set up by homeless themselves, sometimes directed there by Chief Mills, sometimes going there of their own accord. This where the last sort of city, county, I'm not sure if it was county run or city run, I think it was county funded, I don't know if it was county run, I think it was county run actually, I'm not sure. It was a closed in area that displaced a larger Benchlands campground earlier in the spring and summer of last year, and throughout the summer and early fall, this was a sort of a it was a fenced in area that actually got a lot of approval from the campers who were there and provided some access to social services and meals, and was eventually moved up to De La Vega Park near or next to the Armory, I believe. I've never been quite clear how that thing went along. We've gotten some reports from that area how that went with Greg, who's gone up there, lived up there, and then spent a lot of time as well in the San Lorenzo Park, if you listen to past shows. The city is suggesting that it wants the court to order that, one, they can choose to relocate campers to this Benchlands area out of the more public area of San Lorenzo Park, the area that people walk through more, and that's adjacent, sort of, across the street from the various apartment buildings on Dakota Street. That they mark and establish 122 temporary campsites in the Benchlands. They include a map, which I have not been able to see because that information has not been forwarded to us by Attorney Prince. Make modifications to the map, as long as that allows for 122 temporary campsites. Make efforts to offer a so-called camping permit to all persons who are currently encamped at San Lorenzo Park in the Benchlands. The permit shall last until an offer has been made to each San Lorenzo Park Benchlands encampment occupant or all 122 temporary campsites are filled. They are going to be monitoring who's going into these tents and camps and so forth, and there are going to be 122 temporary campsites. I'm not sure if that means for 122 tents or 122 people. It's not too clear. Individuals who have a permit to reside in the Benchlands at their designated campsite until such date as the county has declared the pandemic over or the city of Santa Cruz lifts its COVID-19 related emergency order, which was recently extended to May 8th, whichever occurs last. Makes the action entirely dependent. Say this makes the tenancy of people who are being told that to move from the tents they're at down into the Benchlands, which isn't that far, but it is a move. And it one would ask, why should they do that if they're going to be moved again without any assurance that they will be given a place to go after that? Because that's not proposed in this camp, or I should say in this court order, that the city is asking the judge to sign. It puts this in the hands of the city council and the county together. It says whichever occurs last, the city lifting its emergency order, which gives city manager a lot of power to issue decrees and punish people for not following them, and the counties could declare the pandemic is over, which is kind of a vague statement. But it does give people in the camp the protection of both of them having to be done. Or let's see, when the last such order issues of the two, then they can, I would put it baldly, start clearing people out without any promises as to where they can go or guarantees that there'll be a place for them to go to. One option. It also suggests to the judge that the judge could sign the order that allows the city to choose to require campers to relocate to the Benchlands rather than permit them to remain in San Lorenzo Park. They may require those who are currently encamped in the Benchlands relocate to San Lorenzo Park or to appropriate indoor housing provided by the city, or if available with funds provided by FEMA or other federal, state, or county sources, until such time as the city has actually and fully opened the Benchlands encampment such that it is ready for occupancy for all persons displaced or temporarily removed. Here, it seems to be just addressing people who are currently camping in the Benchlands now. They'll have to relocate back to San Lorenzo Park or to appropriate indoor housing until the city has actually opened the Benchlands encampment. And it would require them to create a permit process, or it would allow them to create a permit process. Say that those given a permit to camp in the Benchlands must relocate to the Benchlands within 48 hours of receiving that permit. People who commit crimes or fail to abide by the code of conduct, which again we don't have a copy of because Anthony Prince didn't send it to us, may have their camping permit revoked. I think he's complained he hasn't received it, or I haven't actually heard from him about that, but it's not here in these orders. His permit gets revoked, we'll get a hearing at which the homeless union can have a rep to come to that hearing. It's not saying that the hearing will be before the judge, and in the past, such hearings as have been accorded by the city don't even involve courts. They involve the city manager's appointee. This is the case, for example, if you are given a ticket in a park and they say the officer gives you a stay-away order in addition to the ticket, which he or she has the option to do, and you want to appeal that, you get to go to a hearing which has the city manager's representative, not a court, not an independent person, but the same jurisdiction, the same body, the same people that are actually giving you the ticket get to judge whether it's a fair ticket or not, and you have a stay-away order. They don't get to judge whether you're guilty or innocent of the ticket. That would go to a court, but you have to stay away, or you'll be subject to a much greater fine and actually jail time. So you get punishment before a court with the current law, the city law, that's never been really challenged in court, needs to be challenged. I've urged Steve Plaich to challenge it time and time again, and he has said he would with his Homeless Persons Legal Assistance Project if he could only get plaintiffs who would, or defendants who would stay put or so forth. It has been a little hard for me to believe that he hasn't been able to do that, because he's a regular. He knows a lot of people in the homeless community, and there are people who showed up regularly at the Red Church every week for years who have gotten stay-away orders. I know, because I've received their accounts and in some cases seen the orders, and have also seen the records by the city when the police department has finally coughed them up. In the event that your permit is pulled because you are a bad girl or boy or man or woman or a homeless individual who isn't quite treated as a human being, but they like to pretend they are, that's my cynical view on this, if it's determined a camper's permit is revoked, the camper can be prohibited from returning to the encampment for at least 30 but no more than 45 days, during which time they must stay away from San Lorenzo Park, the Benchlands, and surrounding areas, including footbridges near the park, the Soquel Street Bridge, and so forth. So it's a court-imposed or court-mandated, for the first time, stay-away order. Because while there is currently a law passed by the city, but never looked at by the courts, as far as I know, that authorizes these cops says so, it's a stay-away order process, this is the first time a judge would be signing such an order this way. Now, on the upside, this would mean it is limiting the... once they pulled your permit and told you, get out of the camp, you can't be here, it limits the areas that you are banned from the camp, including San Lorenzo Park, the Benchlands, other areas, Soquel Street Bridge, footbridges, and so forth. And so that sort of implies the rest of the city is open to you. But remember, there's this TOLO law that is going into effect in a couple of weeks. Its enforcement is not really in effect, supposedly, until there's storage and or shelter of an adequate kind, but the promises of that kind of thing have so often been broken or mystified into fog by people like Susie O'Hara, and now it's Lee Butler who's sort of the point person for this at City Council, that it's hard to believe that people aren't going to get caught in the nets of this TOLO law as well as this court order if it's signed by the judge on Tuesday or soon thereafter. It's also going to require that areas not marked as temporary campsites reasonably close to the San Lorenzo River levee, not defined, and be kept clear of encampments, personal property, and other obstructions determined to present an immediate and serious risk to public health and safety, which is pretty subjective. There's no criteria for immediate and serious risk to public health and safety. And also, there's a mention of a code of conduct for the encampment. People who fail to abide by the code of conduct in the encampment, that's the Benchlands encampment that they create, will be required to stay away from the Benchlands encampment and surrounding areas, including the upper park and surrounding areas. So it means not only you're banned from the encampment, you're banned from the park. But you can always bring along a Santa Cruz Union person to challenge it before the city manager's own representative, if that gives you any comfort. And then regardless of whether or not the city chooses to relocate individuals to the Benchlands for the duration of the injunction period, the city shall be permitted to enforce, and this is the stay-away order section that I was mentioning of the San Lorenzo, or the Municipal Code, section 13.08.100. Folks who've forgotten what this 13.08.100 is, it's part of the city code. It's the nasty part of the city code that is court-free. You don't need to go to court. You don't need to convict anyone of a crime. You don't even need to charge them with a crime. You just have to have an officer write them a ticket for the crime. Afterward, the city attorney can say, I'm not taking this to court. But the stay-away order stays. At least that's my... I've not been clear that that's not the case. Anyway, the nature of this ordinance is... Any person who receives a citation or is arrested on city park or beach property or any property maintained by Parks and Recreation Department for a violation of the Santa Cruz Municipal Code or state law may be ordered by the citing and arresting city officer at the time of the citation and arrest to vacate that park or beach property and not to re-enter said property again for the period of time specified below. Any such order, and this is an interesting addition, shall apply to both the park or beach property at which the citation arrest occurs, and to any other park or beach property at which such an order was issued within the previous year. So if you get a ticket one day in one park, and you get a ticket the next day or the next week or the next month in another park, you could be banned from both those parks, even though one park has nothing to do with the other, even if no crimes are actually been, you haven't been found guilty of any of these crimes. Or even taken to court for them, or even been charged with them. Any person who violates such an order from a city officer shall be guilty of a misdemeanor. Infractions are only punishable by fines and community service in theory, but misdemeanors are punishable by higher fines and jail. And so here's the time period. For your first offense, 24 hours from the time of the citing and arresting officer's order. Second offense, within 1 week of the first offense, then you have a 1 week stay away from the date of the arresting officer's order in response to the second offense. If there's a third offense within 30 days of the second offense, a month later, then you have a month stay away order. And that's just from all places where you've been given infractions in the last year involving any kind of park property or park property maintained by the Parks and Rec. And that, by the way, includes Pacific Avenue and various other places throughout town that aren't actually parks. Fourth offense means 6 months to stay away. And if you show up within 6 months, you face a misdemeanor. Fifth offense is a year. So you can imagine for people who, let's say, sleep in a park after dark somewhere, because that's crime, you know, and they get a ticket one, and then another ticket a couple months later, and then ticket another couple months later. They end up getting a year's stay-away order, assuming, of course, that they don't go to jail and then get tried, held in jail without bail, although that's been actually sort of loosened by the courts recently. Recently on Friday, there was a decision about that. I'll be talking about that hopefully later in this broadcast. Also, this isn't the worst of it. You have the school safety enhancement zones. If any city or park or open space and its adjacent sidewalk and street that are within 300 feet of a public or private preschool, elementary school, middle school, junior high school, or high school is it's now designated a school safety enhancement zone, in which any person who receives a citation or is arrested for a violation of the municipal code or the state law may be ordered by the citing and arresting officer to vacate that park for three times the amount of time. So it's not just going to be 24 hours, it's going to be 72 hours. It's not just going to be 1 week, it's going to be 3 weeks. It's not just going to be 1 month, it's going to be 3 months for the third offense. It's not going to be 6 months, it's going to be a year and a half. And it's not going to be 1 year for the fifth offense, it will be 3 years. That's if you're in one part of the park, not if you're within 300 feet of a school, but if any part of the park is within 300 feet of the school. I have not checked to see how seriously and how sedulously the city has been enforcing this. Maybe it's just a big bullying tactic used to get people to move out of sight, move out of here, move out of the city, move out of the county, which is perhaps more likely. But it's also on the books, and it can be used for this purpose and misused. The law itself is a standing abuse. One of the things that the judge will be asked to sign by the city is to enforce this, be allowed to enforce this code in San Lorenzo Park. The homeless union will be allowed to send a representative to the city manager hearing that somebody has if they want a hearing. To enforce removal of so-called public nuisances, encampments that are not maintained in a reasonably tidy fashion or that are unreasonably large, i.e. takes up more than 12 by 12 feet. Now, I think it's 12 by 12 feet, but it just says 12 by 12. I hope they don't mean 12 by 12 inches. But it says per person. It's got to mean 12 by 12 feet. Okay, they'll make an exception for larger encampments moving base pallets closer together if they house a family or more than one person. And they'll have an opportunity to have a union person present to serve as their representative. And then they'll also can do enforcement actions around littering, glass in parks, alcohol in parks, vehicles in parks, fires, and disorderly conduct. Well, they already have that power. The real question is whether they're going to use it to harass people. I mean, the injunction, as far as I know, did not prevent police from going after crimes in the park, where those crimes did not involve simply being in the park, which is what the city has used traditionally to ban people from the park at night. The proposed order that the city wants Judge Susan Van Coolen to sign. And of course, you know, my thought is this is, of course, a bunch of crap. And I think that the homeless union people agree with me. But what's needed is for the attorney for homeless people, Anthony Prince in this case, to draw up an alternate order. Now, I understand that's not been done, that instead they're simply operating off of this order and trying to get them to loosen it up. And one thing that's completely missing from this order is any reference whatsoever to Martin versus Boise, which I find kind of outrageous, because I believe the judge's order, though it does primarily talk about COVID-19, and the need to do this because of COVID-19, and that it certainly is true, and that has to be addressed, and that's kind of the axe is going to fall once the COVID-19 protections are gone. There is still this other issue of shelter and lack of shelter, which is pretty obviously a sort of a life-threatening situation for people, particularly disabled people and elderly people.